Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Thursday, happier, happy hour. Dom, you feeling happy?
I'm happy, man. Happy Friday Eve to you. This week is flying by.
Dom, just saw a newly reported story. Our friends at WisPolitics, you know, the big gerrymandering lawsuit that was filed immediately after Janet Protasiewicz joined the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Well, the Republicans, they've hired counsel, Dom, at our expense, of course. Private counsel, not state legislative counsel, not counsel from the Department of Justice, but their own counsel, Dom, at our expense. Yeah, I wonder if Troopas is on that list, or perhaps Troopas is conflicted because he has his own freaking criminal defense attorney, Dom. Anyways, just want to point out, LeMahieu and Boss Foss will control the purse strings. All the expenditures on these private counsels at your and I expense, Dom. Glad they're such prudent managers of money. Like,
you know, the last
time
what
they did with Foxconn,
Robin Voss hired an attorney. It was what? Gableman.
Right? I think he described him later as an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin.
But he still paid. We're still paying. I mean, we still, as a state, going to court on these issues. I mean, it's easy, Voss, when it's other people's money, but that's really not fiscally responsible.
Isn't it easy, though? I mean,
it sure is.
Sue everyone, man. Try all the drugs. You know, speaking of our buddy Rojo, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
Yeah, thank you for that. Well, what about Rojo? You asked me to ask you about Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin, former friend of the Devil's Advocates. What's he doing today?
Well, he's on a inferior righty-whitey talk radio program, national.
Of course. I mean, that's what he does. He spends more time on the radio with, you know, right wingers than he does actually, you know, doing any governing.
Well, he was on with the Clay and the Buck. They're sort of the midday, the new Rush Limbaugh pair.
Oh, yes, yes. By the way, you miss Rush yet?
Nope.
No.
How about you?
How about
Do you miss him?
Tucker's been off the air for a while. What about Tucker? You miss Tucker?
No.
Okay.
No, miss Jesse Tucker. Waters gives me someone to hate each and every night.
Yeah.
So who were we talking about again, though?
Ron Johnson on Clay and Buck.
Oh, yeah. How could I possibly forget the esteemed senator, the senior senator from the great state of Wisconsin? And, you know, he pointed out to the American people today in this interview format, Dom, who the real problem is. Why, it's Fauci, of course. Because, you know, he's all down. I mean, he went through this whole litany of ways that vaccines have hurt people and done everything from Legionnaire's disease to I forget, but he went through a whole litany of things, mitochondrial things, and anyways,
yeah, Ron. I want my science, you know, interpreted and given to me from Senator Ron Johnson.
And not Anthony Fauci. You know, what's his face? The guy from Kentucky, the other bad one from Kentucky, Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Rand Paul apparently wants charges brought against Anthony Fauci for lying to Congress, for funding, I forget what it's called, but effectively where they try to make a virus worse to see what the potential outcomes could be in a controlled lab environment. Now, Fauci said the U.S. doesn't fund that. Rand Paul says, yes, we do. And in fact, today went after the U.S. attorney and asked him to go after Fauci and bring charges. And Ron Johnson seconds that emotion, Dom.
Of course he does. Ron Johnson is all down for the cray-cray. If you can come up and hear about the most outrageous conspiracy and whatever, that's Ron Johnson. He'll buy it.
Well, guess
if
what?
You're selling it, he's buying it. Did he talk about hydroxychloroquine? Or, I mean, what
well,
the
some
other
of the early
stuff?
Remedies, we could have saved hundreds of thousands of American lives, Dom. If only they'd have let us get the truth out there. Early care with the hydroxychloroquine and the, what was the horse paste again?
Ivermectin.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would have.
Do you think it would have helped?
Saved hundreds
little?
Of thousands of lives, Dom. Yeah, that's
Donald
why.
Trump got the vaccine, right? Donald Trump takes credit, right, for pushing the vaccine.
Warp speed.
As quickly as they did it out as quickly as they did. Donald Trump took the vaccine, not publicly. He could have. He didn't. Because, of course, he thrives on chaos. He knew what COVID was all about. He knew it was bad. I mean, he shared it with Bob Woodward. He just didn't share it with the American people. But yeah, go ahead. Keep listening to Ron Johnson.
You know what? Ron will be doing a pre-debate event, apparently, with Clay at the Pabst Theater the night before the presidential debate on August 23rd in Milwaukee. Now, you and I, Dom, I understand, will be across from the Deer District. We'll be across from the Pfizer Forum, you and I doing our live broadcast. We'll have to see how we're going to involve our pal, Maggie Dawn, and colleagues such as Todd Alba. I know he's invited some people from the Lincoln Project. It's kind of going to be a big deal, Dom, this presidential debate.
It's too late, I'm sorry, to get the big floating baby Trump thing, right?
But might maybe be. We can get it for. Well, that might be the only Trump appearance in town. But I haven't given up hope.
Work something out for the convention. I mean, that should be hanging out definitely over the city of Milwaukee.
Well, they did Trump ask. They did. Clay and Busk did ask Rojo the Clown. I mean, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, whether or not he thought that Trump should come here and be part of the debate field. And Ron gave one of his typical, well, you know, I haven't really looked at that. Didn't answer that one. But here was his advice for the Republican Party yesterday. We try to poll our audience. You know, how do you get the kids involved, Dom?
How do Republicans make inroads with the young voters?
How do you expand the tent? Well, here's what you don't do. Those dumb ads, says Ron Johnson. I'm thinking those racist dumb ads saved your bacon against Mandela Barnes. You only won the state by like 26,000, 28,000 votes, over 3 million cast. Those dumb ads saved your bacon, Ron. Of course, he does right-wing talk radio with some frequency.
Some frequency is a very, very nice way to put it.
But Ron's advice to the Republican Party, spend your money putting people in the field. That's what the Democrats do. Emphasis on the rats.
Democrats.
You know how they say it, Dom.
Democrat.
But apparently, if you just go out and knock on doors and tell them, you know, we got great policies. What are they? Anti-abortion, anti-legalization of marijuana, anti-healthcare, pro-petroleum. You know, this climate change thing.
Pro-gun. Get your guns.
Oh, yeah. We got a gun for every pot, Dom. 40 acres and a gun. 844-967-2789. You know, I don't miss Ryan on the airwaves. You didn't miss much, folks. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, good news today. Got the chest tube out today, so I'm pretty happy right now.
All right, good job.
With the Wisconsin Election Commission, it points out the weakness and the fragility and of that institution because it's not nonpartisan like it used to be. I mean, here you have probably a Republican of integrity, and because she's not going along with the big lie that they're drubbing on her. I mean, that it should actually be, you know, because party isn't actually mentioned in our original constitution or, you know, in our state constitution, yet, you know, that we run into this kind of thing. I mean, this should go back to, you know, to an independent commission where it's retired judges, and then you wouldn't have this foo-frog going on right now where it's party loyalty over everything else. And when you have
well,
a,
and, and Mark, they're eating their own. They're splitting this party because of it, right? And you have some who were like, you look at the evidence in front of them who are actually involved in the election process. You know what I mean? People with, you know, historical, with knowledge, institutional knowledge of how these things work, and they happen to be Republicans. That's okay. Doesn't mean they're automatically fraudsters and liars, but apparently the fraudsters and liars in the Republican Party have an issue with the other Republicans who don't go along with the fraudsters and the lying. That's the split. They're eating their own. The Republican Party is in disarray, and they deserve every bit of it. I would hope Marge and some of these other Republicans, you know, she said, what, I vote Republican. I've always voted Republican, but you're kicked out of your own party. Like I said earlier, you didn't leave the Green Lake County GOP. The Green Lake County GOP kicked you out. They left you. So who are you voting for now, Marge? What are you doing now? I mean, I get what you're saying, and I you know, the reporting, she's into tears, and it bothers me, man. Older lady just, you know, doing this thing, working for her community, involved, everything you want someone to be, brought to tears because her former party, her former friends, family, extended family, you know, in the party, not necessarily personal family, treating her like this, ostracizing her, hell, taking calls, and as she interpreted the message, to be threatening. Marge, 70-year-old Marge, voted Republican her whole life. That's not good enough for the mega fascists. You see what I'm saying? You see what's happening here, Marge? So come on over. Hang out with us for a while. You don't got to, not, I get it, you're not going to vote for Bernie. Okay, but just don't vote for them. Don't do that.
Should she abstain from voting?
Do you believe them?
She's still part of the cult, Tom. She's still going to vote that way, according to Marge. She's still voting Republican. She's been doing it all her life.
We're giving her permission not to do so. It's okay, Marge. Call us.
Would she have to get rid of the keep off my grass sign? You damn kids.
she can keep it.
Derek Van Orden's got one? In the district, grass. Back at the house, stay wherever the that grass. Is. Damn kids. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dodd joining us soon, right, Dom?
Yes, 844-967-2789. Let's get to the ProPublica piece. Did you know Clarence Thomas? He goes on a lot of trips. We'll be right back. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Hey, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone line open, 844-967-2789. Maggie Dawn of Maggie Dawn Show going to join me in studio before her show at 6. I'm going to hang out with Maggie and talk a lot of trash. Hope you stick around for it. 5:30.
Dominic, I've got the world walking by my window. We got an Alice Cooper concert here in Madison on State Street, Overture Center. What better venue than the beautiful Overture Center for Alice Cooper? And then we got the night market, man. The world walking by the window here. You know, I get distracted, Dom. I'll try to keep my eye on the prize here. Bring it home. Dynamo Dave, we see you. Be patient for just a minute. But, Dom, I don't know if I should be encouraged by this news, but I think this is going to cause some trouble. You know, the Utah guy that apparently was shot to death by FBI agents over threats made against President Joe Biden was turned into the FBI by Truthy Social. This is what is being reported. A tip from Donald Trump's social media site led to the fatal FBI shooting of a Utah man amid an investigation over allegations he threatened Joe Biden, according to NBC News. Truthy Social reported Craig DeLu Robertson to law enforcement after he made threats in March against Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, the outlet reported. Wasn't that the sort of behavior Trump's encouraging with his post? But I read on. The FBI raided Robertson's Provo, Utah home after the Utah man had made threats against Biden ahead of the president's scheduled visit. Robertson was killed during an exchange with authorities who arrived at his home around 6:15 a.m. on Wednesday to serve a search warrant, according to the NBC. An armed Robertson pointed his weapon at agents and failed to respond to their commands before they fatally shot him. Mess around and find out. Dom, Truthy Social turned in this guy that would mean harm to Joe Biden.
My understanding, Crudy, this is not the first time the FBI had conversations with the now deceased. They spoke to him before. He's been prevalent at his threats. So what, something about going to dust off the sniper rifle. And good for Truth Social, I guess, for, you know, reporting presumably a deranged elderly man. The guy's in his 70s. They've had contact with him before. It obviously tragic it ends this way. But where is he getting this motivation from? You know what I'm saying?
Like, also where? From the Truthy Social and the post of the of the Cheeto Messiah.
Definitely influenceable by, you know, these right wing and Donald Trump. And let's just face it, man. Donald Trump is getting more and more. I mean, what? Nancy going to hell. We're all going to hell. Donald Trump's bringing everybody to hell. This is terrible. It can't happen. You know, the Congress must intercede. The Supreme Court must stop this. And the guy's, he's flailing. And the heat just keeps getting hotter.
844-967-2789. Our pal Dynamo Dave from Duluth, Minnesota, where they got legal weed now, Dave. Welcome.
Hey, what's all going on, Dave?
Hey. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I got about four questions for you, men. One, you think if it was Obama or a guy with Obama skin pigmentation who did all the things that Trump's been indicted for, whether this person would be on the loose? Wouldn't there be a mugshot? And wouldn't this person actually kind of be locked up or having to put up bail and stuff like that? What do you think?
Well, you know, Trump's pushing his luck right now, I think, Dave.
If it was the Trump administration, I mean, Donald Trump got elected in large part from his messaging. Dynamo Dave, what was it? We heard it all the time. Lock her up. Lock her up. I mean, what do you think? I mean, the guy actually tried to lock up his political opponent. So certainly, you know, would Bill Barr go to that extreme? Well, Bill Barr went to a lot of extremes to help Donald Trump. Hopefully we'll never have to find out, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Right on, man. Thanks for the call. 844-967-2789. Kurt, let me just throw that a little bit from the ProPublica piece before our guest Maggie Dawn shows
on
up
the
at
corrupted 5:30. Clarence Thomas guy?
During his three decades
on the Supreme Clarence?
Court, Clarence Thomas has enjoyed steady access to a lifestyle most Americans can only imagine. That's all I want, man. Steady access to the lifestyle I want. I don't want to pay for it, right? I don't be responsible for it. I just want access to it. I mean, why own it when you can get it for free? A cadre of industry titans and ultra-wealthy executives have treated him to flung vacations aboard their yachts, ushered him into the premium suites at sporting events, and sent their private jets to fetch him, including, on more than one occasion, an entire 737. It's a stream of luxury that is both more extensive and from a wider circle than has been previously understood.
You know, we've been invited on Kuchka's boat a few times. At least I've been invited a few times. You've probably been invited,
man.
A few
Kuchka
more.
I haven't had a boat in years, man.
That's probably why I don't get invited anymore. You can come on my boat. I'll invite you on the Jordan Love boat, man.
How big is that boat?
At least 16 feet.
My Cadillac. My 1976 Cadillac is 18 and a half feet long. Crudy.
I bet you mine burns less gas.
Like clockwork, Thomas's leisure activities have been underwritten by benefactors who share the ideology that drives his jurisprudence. Their gifts include, wait for it, at least 38 destination vacations, including a previously unreported voyage on a yacht around the Bahamas, 26 private jet flights, plus an additional 8 by helicopter, a dozen VIP passes to professional and college sporting events, typically perched in the skybox, 2 stays at luxury resorts in Florida and Jamaica, man, and 1 standing invitation to an uber-exclusive golf club overlooking the Atlantic coast.
Well, Dom, if you had a sugar daddy, where wouldn't you travel to?
I mean, why not? Why not? Free to me.
Come back with us. Maggie Dawn, I hope she's not charging by the hour. More Devil's Advocates, the happier, truthy Thursday happy hour. It rolls on.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a truthy Thursday edition. Dom, a happier happy hour rolling through it, expecting Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show, Fighting Traffic. She'll join us very shortly, I suspect. But Dom, I got a little break in news from themadison.com. Not exactly what I'd want to hear in terms of lawsuits, but the Wisconsin fake Trump electors case to proceed to trial next year. Now, this is a civil action because we've yet to find a prosecutor with the cojones to charge criminally here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom.
Well, we don't know. Perhaps Josh Call is on top of it. Can't comment on pending litigation. Maybe there's something. Michigan, did their arraignment of their fraudulent electors today.
Dominic, a civil lawsuit against the 10 Republicans who signed paperwork purporting that Donald Trump won the 2020 presidential election is heading to trial next year after a Dean County judge largely rejected the Republicans' request to toss the case. Throw it out, please. We didn't mean to do it. Throw it out. Dean County Circuit Judge Frank Remington on Thursday denied the defendant's motion to dismiss claims alleging that the 10 Wisconsin Republicans and 2 attorneys who advised them broke multiple laws, including impersonating a public official, public nuisance, and engaging in a conspiracy, Dom. Here's a quote. Wisconsin voters have been waiting for nearly 3 years to hold the fraudulent electors accountable for their misconduct, according to Scott Thompson, an attorney with the firm Law Forward, which filed the case early last year. He said in a statement, "Their coordinated and deliberate effort to subvert our democracy must not happen again. Today's ruling is the next step in that process." Step in the right direction, Dom. Now, with Remington's order, the case will move forward to a September 2024 trial. Less urgent. These guys aren't on the ballot, per se. Remington's order comes about a week after the U.S. Department of Justice filed federal charges against Trump. Oh, I had noticed. Was Trump indicted or something?
What? Again?
About a week after the U.S. Department of Justice filed federal charges against Trump as part of a probe into the former president's efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential, a scheme that relied heavily on actions taken by Republican electors in a handful of states, especially Wisconsin. Mark Jefferson, executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, said in a statement that he's confident attempts to penalize people who were tricked will fall short. Who was tricked? Who was tricked, Mark?
Who's tricked?
Who's being Andrew tricked? Hitt?
Was Andrew Hitt tricked when he said, "This is a terrible plan, it's going to fail miserably"? Where do I sign? Was he tricked? They weren't tricked. They went along willingly. And that's what the evidence shows. How is this a civil case and not criminal?
I have a statement, a quote, if you will. Pardon me. All action taken to produce an alternative slate was only done to preserve an ongoing legal strategy that I would point out had been exhausted like an hour before they actually committed this crime. Crudy's term, crime. I read on. They were only trying to preserve an ongoing legal strategy and only to be used in the event a court of law gave the alternative slate meaning. Then why didn't they state that in the documents, Tom? Remember Andrew Hitt said, "Yeah, I wish we had. I wish we'd have written a clause like, we're not committing fraud. We're just in case." But they didn't do that. Not in the state of Wisconsin. Not like they did in Pennsylvania. he said, we were not informed of any use of the alternative electors contrary to preserving the legal strategy and would not have approved of any other use. Right. A little bit more here, Dom. In the indictment against Trump, federal prosecutors heavily cite the actions of the slate of 10 Republican electors who gathered at the state capitol on December 14, 2020, to sign documents declaring Trump the winner on the same day Democratic electors cast the state's actual Electoral College votes for Joe Biden. Now, Dom, state Republicans have said the meeting took place on the advice of attorneys. Fine counsel like Cheesebro and Troopas Giuliani. And Giuliani, right? The indictment states that some fraudulent electors, including those in Wisconsin, were tricked into participating based on the understanding that their votes would only be used if Trump succeeded in lawsuits challenging the election outcome. That's your legal defense? We was tricked?
We. But of course, as mentioned, former Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Andrew Hitt specifically said in his testimony, or at least was provided to the J6, this is a terrible idea and it will fail. Where do I sign?
More from the Madison.com, Dom. Later in the document, prosecutors state that Trump and his co-conspirators, again, this the Trump January 6th indictment, that Trump and his co-conspirators ultimately used the certificates of these fraudulent electors to deceitfully target the government function and did so contrary to how fraudulent electors were told they would be used. According to the indictment, the shift took place after a November 18th memo from Trump campaign advisor Kenneth Cheesebro, which detailed the plan to Wisconsin attorney, wait for it, James Troupas, who represented Trump in the failed effort to overturn the state's 2020 election results. You know who would have insights on that?
Who would have insights on
Attorney
that?
Maggie Dawn?
Attorney Maggie Dawn, she might have something to say about Jim Troupas. Well, it should be great if she was here on time.
Don, the memo urged electors to convene on December 14th to, and here's a quote, preserve the alternative of Trump's Wisconsin elector state in the event Trump ultimately prevailed in the state. Just in case, Dom. However, on a separate memo, December 6th, it marked a sharp departure from the November 18th document and advocated, and here's a quote again, Dom, that the alternative electors originally conceived of to preserve the rights in Wisconsin instead be used in a number of states as fraudulent electors to prevent Biden from receiving the 270 electoral votes necessary to secure the presidency on January 6th. Damn. It's Maggie Dawn, our favorite legal counsel, at least one of mine. Welcome, Maggie Dawn, friend of the devil's. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Good to see you.
Hey,
now,
Maggie,
we are talking about the advancement of the civil lawsuit against the fake electors here in the state of Wisconsin, and we're recapping some of the events. And I don't know, but I suspect you might have seen some of the recent reporting of this newest Cheesebro memo that's come to light, the second one, the one that departed from the prior plan. Maggie Dawn, let me ask you, you sat across from Jim Troupas, effectively the Trump legal team, during the recount in Milwaukee County. First and foremost, recall for those that don't know the story, what were they trying to achieve through the recount process?
They were trying to stop it. There's no question about that. They were, and short of stopping it, they wanted to slow it down to such a snail's pace that Milwaukee and Dane counties would not have been able to meet the deadlines in early December.
And Maggie, what means did they utilize to try and stop? I know it was delay, but how? What did that look like at the counting center?
Yeah, so it was a blank show for the first 2 days. So you have to imagine, if you've never been to the Wisconsin Center, but it's about when all the ballrooms are connected, it's like the biggest ballroom you could ever imagine. Its maximum capacity is in the many thousands of people for a seated event. So you can imagine how cavernous that is. And so all of the tables were set up in these aisles with the counters at each table. These are hand counts, by the way. It's hand counts then verified with machine counts. If there's a discrepancy, you go back to the hand count, you redo it with the machine. They all have to check out. There are basically cordoned off areas so observers can sit. You have nonpartisan seats that are designated. You have Trump campaign observer chairs, and you have Biden campaign observer chairs. Then you have monitors that are walking all around. Then you've got the lawyers. Then you've got all the staff to these election commissioners and the Milwaukee County's own election staff all in this room at the same time. When it started on the first day, so we were setting up for days. Mind you, this is in like the very dregs of COVID. It was November of 20. So no vaccines generally available. So trying to stand this up just from a logistics perspective was incredibly difficult. And then when we got there, basically when we started to count, every single Republican Trump campaign observer at every single, because they sort of take wards and then they break them down even further into counting stations, depending on how big the wards are. Every single Trump campaign observer was objecting to every single ballot. So nothing could be counted. By the end of day one, it was clear what the strategy was, which we will object to every ballot. And so what we had to do was ultimately ask the campaigns, please identify all of your objections to ballots, the bases for those objections, and effectively present us with a brief within 24 hours, and then the other side will have less than 24 hours to respond, basically. I think we actually did it on a 12-hour timetable. So we had 12 hours. They came in with a series of, I think, about 15 different objections. The Biden campaign had 6 hours to respond. Then we brought all of that before the Election Commission, which I'm not a part of, I'm just their lawyer. And the Election Commission then commenced to question the lawyers about each of the different objections and the arguments regarding each. And then they ruled on every single one of them. And then after that was done, effectively, you would just have election observers saying objection one, objection two, duly noted. And there were a group of those that we still decided had to be pulled out of the count and set aside in case a court were to later decide that those ballots should not be counted. So that's what we did. And again, there were maybe three or four categories where ballots would actually have to be pulled out of the count and not counted. And we preserved those. They were counted anyways during the recount, but we knew exactly what category of objection or objections they fell under. So that if during his federal or state court proceedings, a judge said, yeah, that's right, those shouldn't have been counted, we could have easily then subtracted them out of the count so that we could still meet that deadline. That structure of how to move through that was mine.
I know.
Basically, I had to sit down and go, how the heck are we going to do this if they're objecting to every ballot? And that was, all right, tell us all of your objections and we'll handle them all up front. And then you can just say 1, 2, 12, and we'll just keep counting. Thank
Maggie
you
Dawn,
much.
If I understand correctly, it was the Trump team through Attorney Jim Troupas and other counsel. Their effort was effective. They were effectively trying to throw out all the absentee ballots. Now, I'm talking about the litigation, not the actual recount. But their goal was to throw out something like 200,000 absentee ballots in Dane in Milwaukee County. What sort of timelines, how did the timeline of the recount affect the litigation, which went all the way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court by December 14th and only was upheld on a 4-3 by a Hagedorn? Maggie, how did those two things work together in terms of timing?
And you mean the recount itself and the lawsuits, including the one in state court?
Yes.
Basically, you have to do the recount in a way that will allow the judicial proceedings to play out. So you have to be, that was what was so challenging here from just a logistics perspective, which was, I don't want a court ruling to come down and then it's like, oh, let's start over with the recount. Because that really would have jeopardized the deadlines that applied to Milwaukee and Dane counties to complete the recount so that the electors could be certified in the ordinary course. And so that was the interplay. We effectively just said, wherever the court cases are or where they are, it was up to the campaign lawyers at the recount to make those objections. and they paralleled the arguments that they were making in the court cases. So we had to create a clean record, preserve ballots or set them aside where appropriate, but figure out a way logistically to keep the recount going so that the legal proceedings could continue. And if a court wanted to see ballots, we had them court effectively segregated out for the various objections.
So how'd that whole recount turn out, Maggie?
Yeah, Biden's count went up by, I think, a couple hundred votes.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our very qualified guest and colleague in broadcast is Maggie Dawn. Except Dom and I never headed up the recount on behalf of Milwaukee County. She's got a little more insight. Stick around. Having trouble talking. More Maggie.
I'm calling my lawyer. It might not be too late to get out of this.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, coming in a little early, working a little harder today. Thank you for joining me in studio, Maggie. We've been talking about doing this forever, and here we finally are doing it.
I know, in the pirate studio. I love it.
Don't tell anybody.
Maggie, gotta ask you about
967-2789. Maggie Dawn, I'm gonna hang out with you a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Maggie, then fun. I'm gonna monopolize your time up until then. Let me ask you about the fake electors here in the state of Wisconsin. The fake electors, obviously, to my opinion, untrained, not legal, but to my layman's opinion, this is a criminal offense. This is a fraud that's been perpetrated against the actual electors and the voters of the state of Wisconsin. Now, Maggie, we've argued on this show a little bit, not you and I, but Dom and I occasionally. Josh Call, we think he should be more active in pursuit. You know, let's drop some indictments already, sir. Maggie, where do you think we should stand on this? I heard right-wing talk radio host Dan O'Donnell defending the false Trump electors earlier today. Well, they're just doing their patriotic duty, you know, like the false electors in Hawaii in 1960. I didn't know that history well enough to refute it in my mind. But Maggie, if that guy's slinging it, I ain't buying it. So what's your opinion of the false electors?
It's pretty, I mean, let me just say this. This has absolutely no parallel to what happened in Hawaii. Zero, zippo, zilch. There was actually a problem in counting that occurred back in the day.
1960 Hawaii, right?
Right. Yeah. And that has no application to what occurred here. The counts were done. And because of that fact, there wasn't a disputed slate. There was not a question. And the idea that's being floated that somehow it was sort of confusing to these people who were asked to be fake electors that this needed to be done to preserve standing or legal claims should have been plainly and evidently obviously false to them. The lawsuits, many of them had already been decided before these fraudsters gathered surreptitiously and illegally in the basement of the Capitol. The Wisconsin Supreme Court had ruled. What standing? The federal court case was proceeding. No one was denying that the Trump campaign had standing in federal court to challenge various federal election law interpretations. So what? That is a fig leaf of a fig leaf of a fig leaf, so much so that you can't find it anymore. The emperor has no clothes. That argument is just garbage, as far as I'm concerned. And Dan O'Donnell knows that there's no comparison and is not in any way analogous to Hawaii in 1960. And he knows that. He's engaging in active misrepresentations, what normal folks call lies, to try to excuse this and provide some stupid cover for these people who all knew better.
Well, Maggie, during the prior indictments, I heard Dan O'Donnell defend the president of the United States and say, well, how could he have committed a fraud? The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld that there must be a financial motive. And Maggie Dawn, I would point at $250 million worth of financial motive, and I would point out the guy defending that former president, since they started telling the big lie over on right-wing talk radio, they've seen their ratings double. They're number one in the market. That lie drives ratings, drives profits. It's just as much a grift when Dan O'Donnell says it exactly. as when Donald Trump says it.
Exactly. And oh, here's what. The Republican head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission just called them all grifters in June, too. I'm going to talk about this on my show in the next hour. We're going to do a little deep wonk dive. ProPublica just interviewed a woman who for years was the Green Lake County.
Marge. Yes.
A woman whose name comes right after my own heart, being a Margaret myself and often referred to as Marge growing up. Right. And they quoted Don Millis saying people are promoting these lies and they're grifters. They're doing it to make money. So, yeah, it was a fraud. And yes, Donald Trump clearly stood to financially benefit. Are you kidding me? The guy made his freaking Secret Service details stay in his own hotels at basically premium prices. He bought the old post office or whatever it was. And then, you know, all the diplomats stayed there when they came to visit. I wonder if he made any money off that. His son-in-law gets a full-time grift from the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. That's not enrichment. I mean, come on. Everybody's making
hand over fist here,
right? right? Oh, Benghazi, Hunter Biden. I mean, does anybody on the GOP side ever realize that your shtick starts to sound exactly the same all of the time?
They just hope that you don't remember. Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show. Talk about state of mind. Pulled this one up. I think it's important. Andrew Hitt. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel back in December of 22. Here's what Hitt said. I'm definitely concerned about their inquiry. Hitt texted the GOP executive director, Mark Jefferson, when he learned of the plot that followed Trump's 2020 election loss. I hope they're not planning on asking us to do anything like try and say we're the only proper electors. These guys are up to no good, and it's going to fail miserably. I mean, they knew, Andrew Hitt knew exactly what was in front of him, the piece of paper. They knew exactly what the plan was. They knew what was going on. They knew the risks. Hell, they thought it was going to fail, and they did it anyway.
Yeah,
and this, Maggie, don't forget one question, I believe, by the January 6th committee. Well, why didn't you have some declaratory statement in? If you're going to sign this, you're going to say this is just in case. Why didn't you include that language in the statement you signed?
Like,
and Hitt said, I wish we would have.
Oops. Was that a crime? Did I slip up on a banana peel and commit a crime here? Yes, he knew it. That was the then chairman of the entire state GOP. He knew it was wrong. He knew it was a crime. Everyone knew. They're all lying. And now they're just trying to come up with some sort of plausible additional lie to cover up the original lie, all the while trying to grift people that continue to believe this garbage. I mean, what did Trump spend last year? The disclosure was like $40 million on legal fees. You think that might double, triple, maybe quadruple in this annum? He's got to pay for it somehow, and it sure is blankety blank ain't coming out of his pocket.
Well, Maggie Dawn will be... Trial before, will there be realistically a trial in January of 2024?
Jack Smith is a genius, okay? Like, you try to keep these cases as clean and as simple as possible. That is what he did with the January 6th indictment. And for that reason, I think we are going to see a Jan 6th indictment trial before the election.
Will it be January 2nd, as they've asked for today?
Boy, wouldn't that be some poetic justice. Bring it on.
We could do it on the 6th. I'm fine with like a four-day delay.
A delay?
Yeah, a four-day delay.
I don't think the trial will go in February, but it'll start in the first quarter of 24. That's my prediction.
I like how you think, sister. Maggie Dawn, attorney at law, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, hero to the state of Wisconsin. She was on the other side of the Trump recount. She saved democracy, I swear to God. Thank you for doing so. Maggie, thanks for joining us on the Devil's Advocates. Stick around. Her and Don, keep it going. I'm outie. Have a great night, guys.